Madison, Wisconsin is as good as it gets.
It's all about the Badgers.
Go Badgers!
Go Badgers! Go Badgers!
Games like this is what really separates college football from everything else.
Open up the history books. Here comes Rondé.
That was J.J. Watt, and what a story this young man is.
Guarded again! What a performance by Melvin Gordon!
And the pass rush gets home for the Badgers.
Camp Randall lets it roar.
An unrivaled fan base. The best college sports town in the world. This is ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day.
Of the ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day post-game show, brewed by our friends over at Coors Light. We are live on 100.5 ESPN Madison and the ESPN Madison and Milwaukee YouTube channels. Corey Sparks, Riley Yauco, and Dimple hanging out with you today. Previewing the hour, red hot, ice cold in just a moment. We'll have our Chalmers Jewelers drive of the game. Metro Ford of Madison College football scoreboard update. It is rivalry week, so a lot of fun updates there. And off-season needs. We look ahead to a long handful of months, but an important handful of months going into 2026, what we hope to be a much more attainable schedule, gettable schedule, get back into the bowl conversations and then some, hopefully. And we'll wrap up with helmet stickers as well. I do believe there's a few to give out. All right, Riley, let's kick it with red hot, ice cold.
Who was scorching?
Going to keep it himself, another rushing touchdown for Wisconsin. Pouring it on in Piscataway.
Who froze up?
Locked from his end zone. It's picked off! Jalen Reed! Touchdown! Huge play for the Penn State defense!
It's time to play Red Hot, Ice Cold on ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day.
He's got a fever. I
can't wait for next year to update all these opens with Hunter Simmons picks. And
you got a lot of material.
Yeah. And I'm trying to think of good plays. I mean, I'm going to give my Red Hot. This play could make the open next year. I feel like I don't want to say the only deserving, but the most deserving player of Red Hot today was Jackson Aker. I mean, he made an absolutely sensational toe-tapping grab in the end zone. I thought it was game-saving. It was game-saving at the time where it's like, oh, baby, Badger's right back in it. And for him to have the wherewithal, stay in bounds, reestablish a little bit more to ensure that both his toes, that's a touchdown in the NFL. That just an absolutely sensational catch by Jackson Aker. He ran hard today, too. Senior from Verona, Wisconsin. He knows how important this game was today for the Wisconsin Badgers. And it just it breaks my heart that he didn't get to chop down the goalposts in his final game as a Badger. It's just brutal. He was red hot today, that is for sure, though. Can go out with his head held high. And honorable mention, the Gophers fans right now on Twitter, they're red hot, absolutely clowning me for calling Minnesota little brother. And I mean, it's fair. That's the thing. Like, I'm right. I'm 100% right. They're totally little brother. But Minnesota fans have every right to clown us and laugh in our faces and point and joke about us for the next 364 days. Just makes you sick to your stomach. So it's red hot. What about you, Corey?
Until we do something about it.
Right? Exactly.
Yeah, back to you.
I'm done.
That's a good meteorologist shoot over. I'm like an on-site reporter in the blizzard. Yeah, Riley, we got about a foot of snow left coming in. I can't move my feet and I can't feel my hands. All right, my red hot is actually going to be the weather. I thought it was a really cool atmosphere getting the blizzard, the axe game. I was not very thrilled with what happened on the football field. However, Jackson Aker, that is a great pick. I had to look it up so I could get his weight right. And yeah, 6'1", 250-pound, what, tight end, fullback, running back. They kind of thrown him everywhere. He's been a good utility piece for them the last 4 years. 250-pound individuals are not supposed to have that wherewithal in their lower body to be able to stick your feet in. I mean, what did he have, like two blades of turf?
Oh, my gosh. And the soft hands, too.
And the white line that would have made it a turnover on downs. And he has finesse for a guy that size.
Mm-hmm. It's impressive.
Yeah, so, yeah, very impressive. I really liked the weather. I really liked the stage that was set.
I loved that it felt like a Big Ten West football showdown where there were 84 combined yards. It was 0-0, and it was truly the field position game. I used to play, NCAA just came back with their football game, what, a year or two
yes,
ago?
Yes, college football 25.
15 years ago. Yes. So I remember 15 years ago, college football like 10 or 11, before the hiatus, right? I used to play this mini game where you would only be able to punt and return. So, Riley, mm-hmm. if I punted to you and you returned it up to the 30, you could either try and kick an ungodly field goal from there, not likely, or you had to house the kickoff return. That's mm-hmm. what this game felt like for, like, the first, what, 5, 6, 7 series?
Yep.
And then it turned into the explosive play for Minnesota and the turnover machine that was Hunter Simmons in the second half. But I like the old school feel of today. The weather fitted it. You had the fans showed up. It was an electric atmosphere. Unfortunately, it just didn't go our way. All right, ice cold. We can snake this.
Yeah.
I will just say play calling mm-hmm. at the goal line. I really didn't like that from Grimes. I thought he's called really good games all year, considering he hasn't had a whole lot to work with the offense. He's been stuck with a pretty run-oriented offense, and he's made the most of it the last couple of weeks, and Carter Smith has done enough in his own right on the ground, but apparently not enough to play the second half of today's game. Still wondering about that, and I'm sure we'll get answers in the coming weeks. But second quarter, team had the ball at the 2-yard line for a first and goal, and they ran out of pistol. 3 plays in a row. They actually tried to throw it once to Tretch Krekahuna down the near sideline, and he had to stretch just get back to the line of scrimmage. I don't understand when your brand of football was supposed to be the renaissance of physicality, and it has been the last couple of weeks, why we don't get fullback dive 3 times in a row, or at least have Carter Smith under center. He was under center on 4th and goal, which ended up being a rollout pass to his right. Teams do this all the time. Jim Rutledge just said it in the last segment. Mm-hmm. Everyone falls victim to getting too cute. I don't understand why Wisconsin football doesn't run the ball right up the gut 3 times, 4 times in a row against a team that I still feel like they were more physical than today.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. And I texted you the same verbatim what Jim said. Grimes got way too cute. There's no reason for that. And without a Herculean effort, a just dot by Carter Smith and then a phenomenal catch by Jack Snaker to keep the toes in bounds, hang on to the football. Badgers going into half down 10-0 based on that play calling, and everyone is irate, even just about as mad as they are right now. And it's just inexcusable. I don't know how you're at the 1.5-yard line, 2-yard line, slam it up the middle 4 straight times. You're going to get in. They were getting push, especially in the second half against that Minnesota front seven. There's just no reason to do what he did. So I had that written down, too. That was one of them. We've already talked ad nauseum about Hunter Simmons' poor decision-making, so I'll skip that. We talked about special teams. I'm going to go with refereeing. For the most part, I respect just not calling anything in a rivalry game. Let it get a little chippy. Let the guys play. I like that. However, there's a pretty bad hold on the touchdown run from Darius Taylor against Wisconsin. Nothing called, obviously. And then last play of the game, offensive play of the game for the Badgers, Tretch gets assaulted, speared in the dome by a Minnesota defender, and they don't even take a look at it for targeting? That met every criteria for targeting. I just didn't.
Defenseless receiver?
Yes. Just
like
it was
the
a good hit.
Of a defenseless receiver.
It's a good hit, but he threw his head and neck area at the head and neck area of Tretch Krekahuna. He forcibly launched himself. I don't know how that doesn't even get a look for targeting. It's frustrating. It wasn't a ref show today, which is nice. But still, you got to make some of those big calls in big moments. And I think the Badgers would have benefited highly from some timely, correct calls by the officiating crew.
I'm with you. I am more of the belief that a laissez-faire officiating crew, hands off, we're going to let him play, is good for football. But when you do have these rivalry games and you open up Pandora's box and say, yeah, I'm going to let that slide today, teams are going to pick up on that. They're already going to be chippy coming into it. This is the week where you have teams planting flags on each other's logos, stomping. You know, you've seen the viral videos regardless of the rivalry game. You know it's going to be a little more physical. So if you send that message at the beginning of the game, the first bang-bang call that maybe you don't throw a flag or some laundry on the field for, I think it only grows into... And it didn't get grotesque today, Riley,
no.
But there were a couple of plays where neither side was held accountable, and that message is received by both sidelines. Oh, that's flying today. Defensive coordinators especially are going to channel in on that. Hey, they're letting you crack them today. Go in and take advantage of that until we're penalized with it. We are coming at you live from our Starion Bank broadcast booth remotely today. Experience a banking relationship where your goals are their priority. As a community bank with a commitment to Dane County, Starion Bank redefines local banking in the Madison area. Visit one of their convenient branches in Middleton, Sun Prairie, or Monona today, or online at StarionBank.com. There was a comment in our section that I really did enjoy. I believe it was Jason saying, no, it was Parker Dutcher saying, red hot was my house, warm and cozy. Ice cold the entire football team's play. Yeah, it was frustrating.
Yeah.
I did enjoy it. It was aesthetic. I'll go back to the weather. It was aesthetically pleasing to watch until you realize what was happening in front of our very eyes, specifically in
yeah,
the second half.
Perfect football weather. It's just the Badgers didn't play that gritty,
the play wasn't good.
Tough, nasty, disciplined brand of football that won them the past couple of games. Defense, I'll give him credit. Offense, no, certainly not.
Did the weather not favor everything? That's what baffles me, too. 844-770-3776, the Carbless ESPN Wisconsin Talk and Text Line. We will get to drive of the game on the other end of the break in a moment. But, Riley, did the weather not play into everything Wisconsin's been about since you and I have been born in 01? But the last four games, We had the air raid, Phil Longo thing. They kind of had to go through their recruiting and take their licks in the transfer portal to build back a tough, nasty, physical defense for sure. And they did get bigger. They didn't have those sideline to sideline guys this year. They prevented the run a lot more. So, based on how Wisconsin was built this year and how they were playing the last three, four games, even going back to the Oregon contest, didn't the weather today, you would think, favor Wisconsin?
You'd think. I understand it's a little harder to run in the snow. We saw that very clearly.
Yep.
The Badgers' pass rush was struggling, trying to find their footing. But then, that's the thing. They took advantage of terrible conditions against Oregon. They took advantage of terrible conditions against Washington. And then today, they just didn't. I understand Minnesota looked prepared for the quarterback running game, but you didn't try it for a full game. You just switched your game plan at halftime, or at least that's what it seemed like from an outsider's perspective. I'm very curious. I'd still love, I don't know if maybe we'll have to scour Twitter during the break here, try to see what the beat reporters are saying. Yep. I'm still very curious as to what Luke Fickell has said about his decision to start Hunter Simmons in the second half, his decision to just decide we're going to air it out all second half and not stay with the running game, with what's gotten us our victories this season, with the freshman quarterback that's gotten us over the hump this year. This should have been the perfect storm, literally, for the Wisconsin football team. You beat Minnesota in a snow-covered Huntington Bank Stadium. You parade around the field. Oh, my gosh. And they just blew it. And I think Jim had a good word for it. Incompetence. That's what it looked like from coach, or at least a shocking lack of confidence from Luke Fickell in what had been winning football recently. It's mind-melding.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. And Wisconsin tried to fix something in the second half that I don't believe needed repair. It hasn't been pretty, but you're just trying to squeeze out wins here and make a better recruiting pitch to the transfer portal acquisitions that you hope to get. And the recruits for the class of 2026, University of Wisconsin,
and you're trying to,
reporter Jesse
you're trying
Temple.
To get the axe back. You're trying to get the axe back.
Yeah.
This is bigger than just you.
That's
this is bigger than just this season. This is about all the Badgers in the past, all the former Badgers who are texting the players this week, axe week, get it back. For all the players, the legacy of the rivalry, the tradition. Luke Fickell preached respect all week about respecting the rivalry. Why are you trying to change everything? This is about the Badgers of the future.
Yep.
It's about everything. Short-sighted. Short-sighted approach is what it appears.
That is very well put. Yeah, short-sighted. That's what Jim said, right?
Mm-hmm.
In that, what is Hunter Simmons going to be doing a few months from now? He won't be playing football for Wisconsin. He literally can't. And speaking of that, Jesse Temple, beat reporter for the University of Wisconsin, said Luke Fickell on the QB change in the second half to Hunter Simmons, quote, "It's nothing against Carter. It's just the way that they were playing," talking about Minnesota. We thought going into halftime and coming back out, it gave us a chance to loosen some things up, end quote. So you kind of got the rationale right on the head, Riley, in that they keyed in on Carter Smith's running ability and felt that they'd have more success having Hunter Simmons sit back in the pocket. And that's fine, but he's not good at that either. Like, he's better at spreading the ball down the field or putting the ball down the field than Carter Smith is at this point. But let's not act like we have some hidden, uncovered jewel sitting on the sideline. We knew what was going to happen. The other shoe was going to drop eventually.
Like, I would have rather seen, if that's what you're going to do, put Billy Edwards with his bum leg in there at quarterback with the massive brace. Just have him, Billy, if the pressure's coming, just lay down. Just fall. Or throw it away.
Throw the ball away.
Get an intentional grounding penalty. We don't care.
The grounding.
I think that would have given us a better chance to win. Like, come on. Hunter Simmons. I feel bad for the guy.
Yeah, he's probably catching a lot of flack right now. I'm sure.
I hope he doesn't have social media. Just hope he doesn't have social
media. Yeah, now would not be the time to check it. But yeah, Luke Fickell saying it was time to loosen some things up.
Yes.
So that was the goal.
Like, I get it.
Did not happen.
But you know what doesn't loosen things up? Throwing the ball to the other team. That just makes it easier for them to key in on the run. They're like, they can move the football down the field, but sooner or later, this guy is going to make a foolish mistake that gives us the ball back. So we can still load the box. We can do what we want.
Yeah.
We'll be fine. So I just don't know where that trust in Hunter Simmons. I don't know where that trust in Hunter Simmons comes from.
Yeah, I completely agree. With celebrations, entertainment, planning events has never been easier. They have complete event services for weddings, corporate events, nonprofit events, outdoor movies, casino nights, and much more fun. Visit celebrationsentertainment.com to get started today. Celebrations Entertainment, fun, memorable events. When we return, your drive of the game, presented by our friends over at Chalmers Jewelers. This is ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day, brewed by Coors Light.
Post-game reaction continues next. This is ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day.
Quick hitter here. We are still taking your calls, your texts, your live chats on the cardless ESPN Wisconsin talk and text line. Lists more. You can go into the live chat on ESPN Madison. You can go to the live chat on ESPN Milwaukee, or you can call or text us, 844-770-3776. Wisconsin loses to Minnesota 17-7. Quick hitter here, as it is time for our drive of the game.
It's the drive of the game.
He's got the corner, and the Badgers touchdown answers quickly.
On ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day.
The Badgers punctuating and pulling away.
The drive of the game is brought to you by Chalmers Jewelers, helping guys score for more than 25 years.
This one was a lot of fun, Riley. Touchdown drive in the second quarter. 7 plays, 75 yards, 2:24 off the clock.
Yep.
Hunter Simmons' 4-minute drill had a 67-yard strike to Vinny Anthony. Carter Smith, 1-yard touchdown pass to Jackson Aker. Not a lot to enjoy today, but that was a pretty ball and a pretty catch and a nice little finesse play by the 250-pound tight end fullback from Verona.
Yeah, that was a fantastic drive. It was the only, drive that ended well for the Badgers today. I was just even more repulsed looking through these drives for the Badgers today. Fumble, punt, 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 touchdown, interception, interception, punt, punt, turnover on downs. Like, so many missed opportunities, so much bad football, or even worse, so much good football ruined by one bad play in a drive. And it's just a crappy way to end the 2025 season. Pretty easy drive of the game today. But before, I know we want to do a quick hitter on this segment. Before we wrap this up, go to break and switch gears here. Parker Dutcher with an interesting comment in the YouTube chat, an interesting question. So we all basically agree we got to get a quarterback in the portal. That's priority number one. What's next? Wide receiver, tight end, offensive line. I think personally, you got to go. If Tretch leaves, wide receiver is your number one priority. You got to get a guy to replace Vinny Anthony. If Tretch leaves, you got to get a slot guy to replace Tretch. I like that we have three offensive linemen who are redshirt freshmen. We have some juniors as well. We have some seniors departing. Like a Malman, Brunner might be gone. We'll see. Tight end. I like the little bit we saw from Grant Steck. Again, I don't hate if you get a Lance Mason type from a smaller school coming up, but I think get even one elite receiver. Retain Eugene Hilton, number one. That's the biggest priority.
Build around him.
Retain Tretch if you can, but then try and get another game-breaking wide receiver. The Badgers have been missing playmakers all season. We've been whining. We've been moaning. We've been hoping and praying for that all season long. So get a playmaker, a guy. It doesn't have to be Jeremiah Smith, but a guy who can change a game, who can make a difficult catch in traffic, who you can kind of just throw it up to every now and again and be like, you know, if this is a 50-50 ball, I'm pretty confident he's going to come down with it. So I want the Badgers quarterback number one, and then get a wide receiver. Would have been nice to keep Jaden Pettit, guy who flipped to Oklahoma, four-star wide receiver, but do what you can. Get a wide receiver. You have weapons at running back who hopefully develop further. You need more skill position guys. Wide receiver.
You bought in on Eugene Hilton pretty early, and I think he's going to be great. Got to keep him, build around him. I am with you. And to answer Parker Dutcher's question, yeah, I would go wide receiver. I think offensive line is not too far behind it. It's my second because, Riley, you and I had this running bit, and it wasn't really a bit. The running back position, and it is on some of those guys for breaking tackles on the second and third level, didn't have a rush of beyond 20 yards until the Illinois win for the first 10 games.
Today, back-to-back.
Offensive line paving the way for those guys.
Back-to-back games. Derrion Dupree with a 20-yard run today as his longest.
Yes.
But that's the thing. Like, the way the offensive line, they've been the same unit the last five games of the season. How much they've grown. Yep. And you could even see the improvement today. Like, they were opening holes in the second half, too. Which is, again, just I don't understand why we're trying to throw the ball all over the place in the snow. But I think this offensive line showed enough improvement for me. And Jeff Grimes is an offensive line guy. That's his specialty.
Yes.
So I think while Grimes' play calling leaves a little something to be desired, I think he has shown that he can grow and develop an offensive line over the course of a season when they're healthy and able to have the same set of dudes playing every week. So that's why I feel a little more confident about the offensive line than I do at wide receiver.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe just get some depth. I know Jason Wilde and Tausch weekdays from 9 to noon brought this up after. It was either the Alabama loss or shortly after. He said, where is the recruiting and the NIL dollars that still we don't have a ton of transparency on with the depth of the offensive line? I think it was after the Alabama loss. That, yeah, it's not ideal that you haven't rolled out the same five guys for the first 7 weeks of the season. But your twos and threes have to be at least decent. These guys are cracking pads every single play, but I do agree with you, Riley. Continuity is everything. It's a huge fixture of this team. They had the same five guys out there for the last handful of games, and I don't think it's a coincidence that we did see a Derrion Dupree or anybody else just starting to break through and have those bigger gains. So maybe I would go receiver, O-line depth, tight end, as long as they know how to block and chip and seal the edge. We don't have Jake Ferguson's every single year, so... I would say that would be the tertiary option, if you will. But that is your drive of the game. One last note, 9 plays, 58 yards, 5.57. It was the second drive of the second half. That had the potential to be the drive of the game if it didn't end in... It technically wasn't a red zone interception, but it was right outside of
20,
it.
Yeah.
Badgers were driving. We had momentum for about five minutes.
Badgers score a touchdown there. Woo, baby. Minnesota is feeling the heat. Bad.
That one hurt.
Because they were not able to move the football. Then you're able to kick off. Minnesota starts from like their 20-yard line. Then the pressure's on. Then your defense can pin its ears back and get after Lindsay a little bit. Maybe force a turnover of their own. However, it's all a bunch of what-ifs now. Season's over. 4-8.
That's the other thing. That interception by Nestor was returned 68 yards. So it wasn't like, oh, Minnesota's going to drive 70 yards down the field.
Yeah, no. Nope. That also would have
changed.
Right
in the red zone.
If he doesn't throw a lollipop straight to Nestor when there's no one in front of him. An interception never is good, especially in that area. But if you force him to go the length of the field again, it's different. I don't think they go the length of the field.
Maybe it's different.
Yep.
No, they didn't pretty much all day. Yep. They had a lot of short fields, that is for sure. All right, two segments left for you. 844-770-3776, the Carbless ESPN Wisconsin Talk and Text Line list is more. Keep chiming in. We look around college football next with our Metro Ford of Madison College Football Scoreboard Update. This is ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day, brewed by Coors Light.
Post-game reaction continues next. This is ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day. From L.A. to Piscataway, this is your college football scoreboard update, driven by Metro Ford of Madison.
What a busy rivalry week across college football today. Got Ohio State taking on Michigan in the Big House. Michigan's had Ohio State's number the past couple years, but not this year. Ohio State back on top in the big game rivalry, 27-9. They now advance to the Big Ten Championship game, where they'll take on Indiana. Could be a great Big Ten title game. Also, Oregon takes down Washington 26-14. For the Ducks, they finish 11-1, and they are likely playing in the college football playoff. We'll find out soon. Penn State and Rutgers got into a shootout, with Penn State winning 40-36. That puts Penn State to 6 wins on the year, and they're going bowling. Rutgers, on the other hand, finished 5-7. They miss out on a bowl game. Also last night, Indiana, big win over Purdue, 56-3, and Iowa crushing Nebraska, 40-16. Going on right now, Maryland trailing at Michigan State. That game's being played at Ford Field for some reason. 24-7 Spartans lead. UCLA taking on USC. That game is tied at 7, almost into the half. And at the half, Illinois leading Northwestern, 14-10. That'll do it for the scoreboard update.
Metro Ford of Madison, Madison's trusted Ford dealership. Learn more at metrofordofmadison.com.
Mr. Owen, Metro Ford of Madison is Madison's trusted Ford dealer. Whether you need to purchase, finance, or service a new or pre-owned Ford, Metro Ford is the place to go. Visit Metro Ford of Madison on the east side today, or go to their website, metrofordofmadison.com, to see this month's specials and browse their inventory. Huge thank you to Metro Ford for being on board with our scoreboard updates all season long. Corey Sparks, Riley Yauch here with you, reflecting on a 17-7 loss against Minnesota. Owen just gave us a nice big look around the Big Ten, so Penn State goes bowling. They keep getting good running backs, man. Catron Allen, I've kind of been following him this year. Over 1,000 yards. He went for a career-high 226 yards today, 10 yards a carry. So it looks like the Big Ten's going to get three, right? Ohio State, Indiana, Oregon.
Oregon, for sure.
Avoided disaster, right? They'll be fine.
Yeah, Michigan
USC's
needed to
be a three-loss team.
Yep.
Yeah.
Michigan needed to win today. So, yeah, we know who's in for the Big Ten. Three teams. Man, oh, man. There's going to be some debate. I mean, if BYU wins the Big 12 championship, then they're in. Texas Tech, you can't leave them out. So then you have two-bid Big 12. Yeah. ACC champ will be in. Group of Five champ will be in. Those last few spots are going to be dicey. Dicey, especially with Texas's
Does
win
Texas
over Texas
in,
A&M. That, no, yeah. I said this earlier today. Like, I just can't. No, I don't want Texas to be in the college football playoff. You had three losses this year. Don't lose. But they're going to, all the Longhorn fans are going to be like, oh, well, we shouldn't schedule Ohio State. This encourages bad scheduling. We should just schedule Tulsa every year and get an easy win. They're not keeping out a 10-2 team. Yeah, they are. If you lose to Florida, you're in the exact same, you're maybe two slots ahead of where you are now, maybe where Vanderbilt is. You're still on the outside looking in. Don't lose to a garbage Florida team. Simple.
Mm-hmm.
Simple as that. So, no, I don't want to see Texas in the college football playoff at all. I understand, honestly, their best piece of their best resume builder isn't the win over Vanderbilt. I'd say win over Oklahoma. And then the loss to Ohio State. They played Ohio State way closer than anyone else did this season. So I think that, but that's classic SEC talk. Oh, it's a quality loss, so put us in.
It's just different here.
Exactly. Tennessee better be bumped from the rankings this week. If Tennessee doesn't get bumped from the rankings, they're going to be pissed. The only reason the Volunteers are ranked is so Bama and all these other SEC teams can have another ranked win to bolster their fraudulent resume. I mean, is Bama? I don't think Bama's fraudulent, but the fact that they're using Tennessee to prop it up is stupid, in my opinion.
Anybody in the Big Ten shock you at all this year? Better than you thought? Worse
than you
thought? Well,
I mean, I thought Indiana. I thought Kurt Cignetti. I thought the dude was a fraud last year. I thought that was he caught lightning in a bottle.
Yep.
I was like, no, this guy sucks. This guy's a charlatan, snake oil salesman. Indiana's going to crumble. They're going to go back to being awful this year. And then what does he do? He puts together an even better season, undefeated regular season, going to the Big Ten championship. I'm fired up for their game against Ohio State. Indiana's got me rooting for them. Now I have the utmost respect for Sig and what he does with the Hoosiers. Like, he is not a fraud, clearly. He just wins. He wins. So Indiana did surprise me. Oregon, Ohio State, we expected this. I mean, Penn State, their fall off was shocking. Firing James Franklin was insane. Hopefully, Wisconsin is rewarded for keeping Luke Fickell and playing the long game, the patience game. Risky decision instead of firing him like so many other schools did. That surprised me. Outside of that, USC.
Iowa was a little better than I thought.
Yeah, Iowa had they had the best loss, arguably in the Big Ten against Indiana. They were close to winning that game. But Iowa, they beat everyone really bad who's below them, and then they get beat really bad by everyone who's above them. So I feel like they're perfect. Like, they're like the ideal 8-4 team. It's where we'd like to be. I think a lot of Badgers fans would be pretty happy with an 8-4 season, losses to Bama, Michigan, Ohio State, Oregon, or no, not Michigan. You beat Michigan, lost to Indiana. Four losses. You beat Iowa, you beat Minnesota, Illinois, all the others. Excuse me. Everyone would have been really happy with that season. So it shows Luke Fickell. This is the worst full season the Badgers have had since 1995, going 4-8. Mm-hmm. That year they went 4-2-2 or something like that, 4-3-2. So it's a weird season, weird record. But and it's progressively gone down. 7-5, 5-7, or no, 7-6. 5-7, 4-8 now for Luke Fickell. Yep. It's progressively getting worse. And now next year, he's got to get at least 7-8 wins, or he'll be gone, Mac will be gone, and the University of Wisconsin will look like the stupidest college in the Big Ten, stupidest athletic department. I'm hoping. I don't think they are. I think the Badgers will be better next year, but it's got to work. It's got to work now.
Yeah, I agree. This is the ultimate gamble, especially I'm glad you brought up Penn State. I don't think a lot of people expected James Franklin's leash to be that short. I thought his seat was warming up. Didn't think he'd get fired that quickly, and then in direct contrast, inside of, a week, McIntosh comes out with the statement to say, hey, if you're wondering what's going on here in Wisconsin, stop it, because nothing's changing. We're upping our investment without a whole lot of details, just that we're upping our investment, and Fick is our guy in 2026. Maryland, I was, quietly rooting for 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I'm but before the wheels completely fell off, before the Iowa game where they lost 37-0, maybe we can justify that. Maryland is now getting the doors blown off them 24-7 against Michigan State, one of the final teams to not have a conference win.
Bad
and they haven't won
Michigan
a game
State
since they beat us. Yeah, so Maryland's going to finish the season with the same record as Wisconsin, and their last win was against Wisconsin. They've lost 8 in a row, assuming they don't come back in the second half.
Yeah.
And, I lost hope after a couple weeks. I was like, no, we're just not great this year. But there was a little bit that I'm like, maybe Maryland's going to be...
Maybe they're frisky.
Having ranked votes. Yeah. Maybe they'll be feisty. Right?
Not
the case.
But no, they're just bad, and Wisconsin's worse. And that's...
Yep.
That's where we're at. My, oh my, how the mighty have fallen. It's very sad. It's very sad.
It's not fun.
No,
it's not fun at
it's
all.
Really,
well, here's what we're going to do.
It's really not.
This is a very important conversation, so we saved the best for last. We will do our helmet stickers, which is important. A lot of guys to give their flowers to, especially some of those seniors after their... look, they went through it, man. They went through the ringer. But a lot of them, Darrell Peterson being one, you can look back to the Illinois game, never threw in the towel, stuck with it. You could tell the coaching staff, the athletic department, and us as fans really appreciated their buy-in, even when grass wasn't always really green. It was actually dead for most of this year. So we will do helmet stickers. And then off-season needs and just looking forward at the timeline, right? The CFP is coming up. We could talk a little Big Ten, but I think the really big window is the transfer portal window that opens a little over a month from now. Then it's spring ball. What's the construction of this offense and this team going to look like in 26? And ultimately, chips are on the table. We're all in. It's do or die. What does do look like? Where is that threshold? What does Madison need to see from its football program next year? All that is next. This is ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day, brewed by Coors Light.
Post-game reaction continues next. This is ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day.
One last segment for the 2025 Badgers football season.
Went by fast.
Wisconsin College Game Day. It did, man. It was a ride. It was always fun because it was with you and Owen, but the season itself, like the play, I don't know if I have seen from the Iowa loss to the like Illinois victory a couple of weeks later or a few weeks later. I don't know if I've seen such a stark contrast in morale.
Oh
like,
my gosh, the roller coaster.
Roller coaster. Yeah,
it's a cliche, but this year was the definition of a roller coaster with a lot more downs and staying down in the lame part than the mighty highs.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. What a ride. Now we got to wait like almost 300 days before we get another college football game, or for the Badgers at least, before we get to watch another Wisconsin football game. This sucks.
There's a couple of dates on the calendar we'll give you guys just to try and bridge the gap. But, yeah, that's the reality of it, right? We're not going to see this team suit up and play for, 9 months? Yeah. Not great.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough.
Man.
I do think there's some stuff to look forward to, though, right? And before we look forward, we will look back at not just today, but the season in general. It is time to give out some helmet stickers.
Let's see who earned it.
Jack Cinci doing it all on this drive for the Badger D.
Melvin Gordon inside the 20. Uses the stiff arm. Hold on. Is he in? It's a Wisconsin touchdown.
Going deep. Down the left sideline. Man's there and got it. In stride. And it's Vinny Anthony. Touchdown, Wisconsin.
Time to give out some helmet stickers on ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day.
I've got two, and then I'll hand it off to you, Riley. Mm-hmm. My first one is first half Hunter Simmons.
Yeah.
Exclusively first half Hunter Simmons.
He's
That's
dealing.
Where we draw the line right there. That throw to Vinny Anthony was pretty, man, especially in the blustery wind. I wish we could have stopped there with the Simmons highlights. Well, with the highlights, we technically did. Mm-hmm. But with the Simmons throws, that got me out of my seat. I was hoping there'd be more moments like that. But that's okay. I guess it is what it is. My second one is more season-long, and I don't want to steal too much of your thunder, but I think Mason Posa and Cooper Catalano gave us a lot to look forward to because of what they did this year as true freshmen. The future might be a little murky with Carter Smith. I'm going to put it out on the line that I don't think Mason Posa and Cooper Catalano are going anywhere. Riley, you brought up the brotherhood, the commitment to this program. And I feel pretty confident in saying they'll be back.
Yes, let me see if I can find the quote from Nick Osen, reporter for Badger 247. Here is the quote from Mason Posa postgame. We've been pounding the rock the entire season, and we are there. We're there. Next year, I promise you, and I swear by it, we're going to change this program. It is going to be a winning program. So that doesn't sound like a guy who plans on going anywhere. Posa and Coop, they are going to be back. They're going to be the anchors on that defense for sure.
I love that, man. And if that's the impact they were having as freshmen, just imagine.
Oh,
again,
my
they're
going to
get that
seniors?
Full offseason now.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Even next couple of years against an easier – the competition's supposed to come down, and they're only going to get better because now they know these jobs are – probably going to be theirs.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be starters at their respective positions. Where think about it this year. What was the learning curve like? These guys were second and third string at their respective positions, and it became one of those things where it was, all right, guys, here's our football team the next six games. Who wants to go out there, and who's able and healthy enough to do it? Now it's their job, and they get a full offseason of resources and preparation and film time and practice to go out there and get better. So helmet stickers for them, because if we didn't have a Mason Posa and a Cooper Catalano on our team, and you asked me, Corey, what are you looking forward to next year? I don't know if I'd have a solid answer for you, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, it'd be tough to find a positive, and I don't think this team gets the spark that it did. And I don't know if we beat Washington or Illinois without Posa and Catalano. And I've gotten the opportunity to talk to Cooper quite a bit over the course of the season. One of the big things he's told me is that he didn't realize the biggest jump from high school to college football is the mental aspect and really learning the game of football. It's a different level. And he said that's the area he's improved the most in learning the psychological aspect of preparing for a game, of learning the playbook, of learning the sport at a much higher level than he previously had. So give him a full offseason. I think Cooper and Mason, Posa, Catalano, the broadcast called them the Bash Brothers today. Love that name. I think they're going to be a force in the Big Ten. They're going to win awards next season. Those are the anchors of this defense and of this team. And I think one of the positives looking forward for Luke Fickell is that he's a defensive guy, and his teams are going to be anchored and led by a stout, sturdy defense. And Posa and Catalano, they embody that to a T. And I think this defense is going to be a force next season, which I'm really excited to see. Very, very pumped for that. My helmet stickers, I got a lot. Just so many of sentimental value. But for this game specifically today, Ben Barton, senior from Stratford High School, the Tiger, it's a quintessential Badger. He blocks the field goal in the first quarter to prevent that fumble from doing any damage. That looked like it was going to be a huge play down the stretch. It could have been. If Hunter Simmons doesn't throw two picks, they don't turn the ball over three times, whatever. Ben Barton, he showed out today. Big run stuffer. Going to miss him next year. Going to miss a lot of that front seven. Lots of seniors. Lots of transfer guys you're going to need to replace going forward. But Jackson Aker, we talked about him. Amazing touchdown catch. Ran hard. Senior from Verona. Give him a helmet sticker. Vinny Anthony had an insane catch today. He had a great season. Was second on the team in receiving. Love the dude. Always positive. Very optimistic. He's getting married in the spring. So best of luck to Vinny Anthony in the future. Very, very proud to call Vinny Anthony a future Badgers, a fellow Badgers alumnus, along with myself. Lance Mason, too. Transfer from Missouri State. Got to talk to him a couple of weeks ago. Seems like a really great dude, too. Really easy to root for. From Texas. Like, he bought into the culture here. He actually led the team in receiving and receiving touchdowns this year. So Lance Mason, really under the radar dude who had a big impact on this offense. He'll be done after this year. Big shout out to Lance Mason. Cooper Catalano, Mason Post, we just talked about them. Mason Reiger as well, transfer from Louisville. Battled tons of injuries throughout his career. And then this year, able to make a big impact, especially in those couple of wins. He looked great. Deonnie Hill, he was a force in the secondary, transfer from Miami. He bought into the culture. He was a hard-hitting defensive back. Cardo Hallman, though he fell off quite a bit over the course of his time at Wisconsin, still ended the season strong, got a couple of picks, and he's a lifer. He's a Badgers lifer. Hope he does great things at the next level. And finally, Aaron Witt, another one of those Wisconsin guys, born and bred, and you just really wish he could have gone out with a much higher note than Wisconsin did today. So tons of helmet stickers I'm giving out today. I'd love to give them out to everyone. And really would have loved to see them get the victory. But fortunately, they go out with a loss.
Well said. And again, there are a lot of seniors who finished the season out as strong as they could with this team that could have said, hey, coach, my ankle doesn't feel too good. I'm done. Like, I'm just going to shut it down. And they wanted to... the ones that you mentioned, and you know, another one that comes to mind, Daryl Peterson, just having a career performance last week.
Christian Allegro too, with a broken arm. Like, come on,
yeah,
like
that's the toughness. Club out there.
Yeah, you got a sack today.
So
like,
it's easy to go out there, and you know, football's a grind. I've never played it, at least past like the sixth grade level. But you can tell these guys are going out there, and when you have a club on your hand or you have a gimp in your step, and then you have to get back out and run full speed 20 plus miles an hour, Point being, it's always a grind, but it's a lot easier to get through a season when you're 12-0 or you're competing for a conference title. Mm-hmm. And you go, yeah, I'm bought into this team. I love being here. Winning's awesome. I'm doing it every single week. It's a lot tougher to go wire to wire in your final season when you could just hang it up and say, I'm majoring in X, Y, and Z. I'm going to turn my attention to that. I don't need to put my body at risk anymore. This team's 4-8. It's a lot harder to go 4-8 and go wire to wire in a season that did not go to plan against the toughest schedule in college football, where some would argue you're playing for nothing at the end. Mm-hmm. Yet you still finish the job. Yeah. So credit to every single one of those seniors, especially, who went out there. Some of them are going to try and play football at the next level. Some of them, this is the last time they take the pads off, and they still finish the season, despite a lot of people outside of their locker room saying it was over before it began.
Mm-hmm. And it's even harder with how much money they make now. You can be done. You can get a stinger, get hurt a little bit. You made six figures playing football just from this season. No one's forcing you to get out there. No one's forcing you to potentially risk CTE or a life-altering injury. You can be done. But almost no one on this team did that this year. There was no quit all the way to the end, even though it was a really sloppy, just kind of sad game that they put out today. Lots of missed opportunities. Sickening for all involved. You can't fault the heart on this team, which is very, very commendable.
Absolutely. So those are your helmet stickers, not only for today, but the season in general. A lot of those guys are going to be really tough to let go and to say goodbye to. And even though this year didn't go to plan, it's definitely going to be odd. And it's become more and more odd the last few years with NIL and the transfer portal era that we're in. To go out there and see a brand new team next year with maybe more turnover than you would have seen 5-10 years ago. But kudos to every single one of those guys who stuck it out. Kudos to some of their family members who interacted with the show or interacted with us. Some of those players directly interacted with us over Twitter or different platforms. So building that bond and seeing that support reflected from University of Wisconsin that we've been trying to give to them through the good, the bad, and the ugly has been really cool. And now it's off-season time, the last part of the last segment of the season. Before we do some thank yous, just a couple of dates to look out for. The transfer portal is going to open up on January 2nd, and it's open for 2 weeks until the 16th. College football playoffs going to begin before that and finish around that time. Then we'll have some spring ball a couple of months later, and 281 days. That's all it is, Riley. It's right around the corner until September 6th against Notre Dame. That's at Lambeau Field. That is the first regular season game for the Wisconsin Badgers.
At least we'll have
Badgers
cool uniforms. That was confirmed in the Under Armour extension release. Special Shamrock Series uniforms for the Badgers. So first game of next season. Yeah, man, it's going to be interesting. Unrecognizable probably in personnel.
Yeah.
And with what they're wearing, hopefully it signals a change in the direction of the program, that they're moving back upwards, a visible sign of progress from this squad next year against Notre Dame at Lambeau Field. But man, out of the frying pan and into the fryer, as they say, or into the toaster oven, whatever. I don't know exactly what the phrase is, but it doesn't get easier to start the season for the Badgers next year. But 281 days. I mean, man, that sucks. I can't believe it's already over. I mean, we'll have a whole baseball season, get to watch the Brewers. That'll be fun. The Packers, still a lot of season left for the green and gold. That'll be fun, but I don't know. For me, it's just not the same.
I know.
Yeah, Badgers volleyball, too. Shout out our producer, Owen Dimple, all season. Yeah, they make a run at the Final Four. We'll see. But just love watching Wisconsin football, even when it's brutal like this year, even when there's a lot more downs than ups. There's just something special watching the Cardinal and White suit up in their pads each and every week. And this year, especially getting to talk about it, getting to be on this post game show, just a fantastic opportunity. And I mean, we can save some of our thank yous for later, like you said, but this has been still just awesome for me personally as an alum, as a fan, as a journalist, getting my feet wet in this career. This was awesome and something I certainly don't take for granted.
Yeah, Riley, nobody bleeds Cardinal red more than you, at least in terms of people I have crossed paths with in my life. I remember when I got told by Ashton Rotman, the content manager over at ESPN Madison, hey, We would love to have you on the show. You're going to be working with Riley. I jumped out of my seat, just like I did for the Lance Mason touchdown from a couple of weeks ago, because I know how passionate and how knowledgeable you are, and it has been so, so fun to work with you these last couple of months, hoping to make some different appearances on ESPN Madison. Obviously, our fans at home have the jump around every single week, so if you're worried about lack of Badgers before the football season starts back up, don't be.
Don't worry.
That's a great way to bridge the gap.
We still have basketball season, too. I can't.
Yeah.
How did I forget about
season,
Greg
volleyball
Gard?
Tournaments.
Yeah. We got a lot.
Yep.
We still got a lot coming up.
Yeah. So a lot there. Huge thank you to Owen Dimfold, too. Owen, you are awesome. You are very dedicated, and you've always given really helpful feedback on how to make this show better for two hosts that have not done something on this platform before, so you've been a great guiding light, too.
Yeah, lots of first years on this program. Owen Dimple stepped into the breach halfway through the season, maybe a third of the way through the season. You can correct me if I'm wrong. But, yeah, impressive stuff. Learning on the job, throwing straight into the fire, and he's handled it with grace and dignity. And, yeah, lots of growth all around, which is really cool. And it would have been great to just cap this season off with a victory. The axe, we can head into the offseason celebrating, feeling really good about the direction of the program. But alas, 'twas not to be.
Yeah, this is the story that we tell. And that it's a team that showed some glimmers of hope the last couple of weeks, but was not able to bookend the season with wins. Felt a little weird seeing them favored for the first time in a while, too. I'll be honest. They were like 1.5, 2-point favorites going into this contest in Minnesota. So that might have given me a little more hope than I should have had to. But no, this has been a lot of fun. They could have gone 0-12, and I think I still would have had a blast because of what you guys do and how talented you are at it. And everyone who listens and interacts with us on the
biggest
ESPN Wisconsin Talk and Text Line, you guys made it so much fun. This show is literally not here and does not have the support in multiple facets without all of you. So 844-770-3776. If you called that line, if you texted that line, if you went into the live chat at ESPN Madison or Milwaukee, you chose to interact with us when you could have just flipped the game off and gone on with your day and spent your time and energy elsewhere, and you spent it with us. So that meant a lot to us, and I'm sure I'm echoing your guys' thoughts there, too.
Oh, yeah. I cannot thank the fans enough. It's been so fun, like, hearing you guys call in each and every week. Scott in Fort Worth, massive shout-out to him. Parker Dutcher, Michael Glenn have been major factors in the YouTube chat. We had Terrence in Milwaukee, Norman in Utah, just phenomenal fans across the board. Like, that's the only reason we have these jobs, is because you guys want to listen. And because you guys, for some reason, respect and appreciate what we have to say, despite being very young in this profession. For you guys giving us your ears and, treating us with that respect and the grace, too, and all the critiques. That's helped us grow, too. Like, learning on the job. It has been awesome. I cannot thank all of you enough. I mean, you got 26 of you still watching. It's fantastic. Like, I can't thank you enough. Like, there's so many great Badgers creators out there that do great work, and the fact that you choose to listen to us, we're trying to become the go-to spot for every Badgers fan after the game going forward, and hopefully we continue to grow and become the best spot, like the go-to place for all Badgers fans for all your content. So we're just trying to serve you to the very best of our ability. So thank you for being here. Thank you so much. We hope you come back next year as well. Stick around throughout the off season. We hope to continue to have stuff, whether it be Jump Around Extra, Wisconsin College Game Day one-off shows. Who knows what it's going to look like? But hang around. We'll try and keep giving you the best possible Wisconsin Badgers content on the market for every single one of you, and just continue to grow the community. This has been a blast. So, so grateful. Don't take any of you for granted.
Very well said. Very well said. And Riley, you, Owen, myself, we're all really passionate about sports. That's why we like to talk about it and take it to a platform. But without all of you interacting with us, it's three dudes talking, which is still really fun. You can do that whatever you want. But to have, you know, whether it's a few hundred of you at a time after a disappointing 37-0 loss against Iowa coming in and contributing with your dialogue, or a shocking win against Washington or Illinois, and the same people who were really bummed out about the loss came in to cheer with us, that group atmosphere and that sense of community. I think I speak for you guys here a little bit too on it. That's part of why we do it. It's a lot more fun when you have more people who, whether they're pushing back on your takes or echoing your takes, are bringing different angles. And you guys all make the show as successful as it has been. We're going to look back on it. We're going to find a way to make it better in 2026. And the reason we're going to be able to break it down and see what went right and what didn't, it's based off how you guys reacted to it. So I do want to remind all of you before we go today, ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day is presented by Coors Light. When you need to refresh on game day, choose a beer that's as cold as the Rockies, cold filtered, cold lagered, and cold packaged for peak refreshment. When the mountains are blue, you know what to do, Riley.
And that is crush a Coors Light.
2024 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. So last words here before we go out into the void for a bit again. The Badger dedicated podcast, the Jump Around, and the ESPN Madison YouTube channel. Go to that. Jump Around Extra will be coming out, and hopefully we have some different elements dialed up for you in the off season as you follow along the volleyball season, the basketball season into the spring, and before you know it, it'll be the fall again. Riley, your expectations going into 2026, what needs to get addressed so that next year is a success?
Yeah, I think number one, you got to get the quarterback position right moving forward. That is priority number one for Luke Fickell. The athletic department, all the donors, you got to pony up. If you're saying you're going to invest in this program, you got to invest as much as humanly possible. That is also, realistic for the Wisconsin Badgers. Mm-hmm. You got to get after it. This upcoming season, it's make or break. I think that Luke Fickell, 7-5, I don't think cuts it with the schedule next year. Like, there are some tough games. It's not going to be a cakewalk of a schedule for sure, but 8 wins needs to be the expectation. Wisconsin cannot have another season like this ever again. You cannot have a season like you did last year ever again. You have to get back to where Wisconsin football needs to be at a bare minimum, 8-4, essentially where Iowa is at right now. That's the standard. It sucks that we have to look at the Iowa Hawkeyes as sort of the flag bearers for where we want Wisconsin to be right now, but that is the minimum. And then hopefully in 2 years, with an even easier schedule, you elevate, and now you're starting to look, you're chasing down, you're at the level of the Oregons, the Ohio States, the Michigans, the Indianas, the USCs. That has to be the trajectory moving forward. Otherwise, this Luke Fickell extension and hire was a massive mistake. Chris McIntosh's legacy is a failure. And the Wisconsin football program and probably athletic department as a whole is in the most dire straits it has been since the early 1990s. And I don't think that's an exaggeration. Wisconsin football needs to figure it out and figure it out fast. Next year is make or break. Let's hope it goes well.
A lot of pressure.
Goes well. Lots of pressure.
They've quadrupled down on it, right? Like, Mac has essentially pinned himself to the hip of Luke Fickell, saying, mm-hmm. where you go, I go. If you go up, I go up with you, because I told everybody this is my decision, and where 99% of people would fire here, I am amending and saying, look, this is not great. I'm not proud of what's happened, but this is the crew that we're rolling with, at least with Luke Fickell at the leadership position. You could go down into different spots. They did say they're going to address literally everything in the offseason outside of that. That is it. And I think one thing I have my eye on, or what's on my radar, when the transfer portal window rips mm-hmm. open, go get some playmakers. The mm-hmm. Ohio States, the Oregons, the Indianas of the world, they've got dudes on offense that can end a drive like that. We don't have that right now. Mm-hmm. We have a really stout defense. I thought the defense was the bright spot of the year. They were able to get in slugfests. Even today, 17 points feels fraudulent. It should have been 7 or 10 that they gave up because there were so many short fields. Now give them that support. That means a quarterback you're confident in playing wire to wire that you don't have to take out in certain scenarios, whether that's a better version of Carter Smith or somebody else while he learns or goes in the portal himself. Vinny Anthony is going to be really hard to replace. You might have to do that in an aggregate style. keep the offensive line healthy. Obviously, easier said than done. And then I'm curious to see what happens with the backfield, because we were promised a lot going into this year, and no one really emerged from the start to the finish as that true 1,000-yard rusher. It took four guys to do it, and even that barely happened. So, big thing on my radar, go get some playmakers on offense. You need some guys who are electric, who can go and get those explosive plays down the field, because, frankly, this team was lacking that, and it made Grimes' job a lot harder when he knew he could only get 3 yards in a cloud of dust every single time.
Yeah, if that. And that reminded me, I completely forgot about Jaden Ballard as a receiver you need to place. He's been a non-factor the second half of the season, which sucks. He had pretty high hopes, too. Coming former like top five wide receiver recruit out of the state of Ohio, went to Ohio State. I believe he was a four-star. He showed some flashes. But he overall had a disappointing campaign, but you got to replace him, too. He had skills. And then on the defensive side of the ball, you got to replace a good chunk of that front seven. Lots of seniors, lots of depth will be gone. And you have some talented young cornerbacks in Emilio Agard, Cairo Skanes, but you're going to need more depth there too. There's a lot of areas that Wisconsin's going to need to address in this coming offseason, and they have to hit on every single one. There is zero margin for error anymore, which is a scary proposition. Scary proposition for Fickell and company.
Yeah, nothing easy about a four-win jump. That's going to do it for us. We are looking forward to seeing you next season. Thank you all so much for joining us.
Seriously,
all season long. You guys
love
have made
you
it special.
All.
Yeah. Riley, Owen, thank you guys. You guys have been amazing to me. We will catch up pretty soon, I'm sure.
Man, it sounds like it. Thank you, everyone. I'll let you sign off here, Corey, but my final words on Wisconsin, and God bless you, everybody. Thank you.
There we go. That has been ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day, brewed by Coors Light. Have a good night and off season.